Senior Wrangler dismissively. I say, why don't... Oh dear, I hope they're not addictive. I'm sure he wouldn't keep on eating them if they were addictive, said the senior wrangler. Now, why don't you have another glass of wine, and then... And then... Happy thought struck him. And then perhaps I could show you Arch-Chancellor Bowell's remembrance. It's got a very interesting ceiling. My word, yes. That would be very nice, said the cheerful fairy. Would it cheer me up, do you think? Oh, it would. It would, said the senior wrangler. Definitely. Good. So I'll just go. He pointed vaguely in the direction of his dressing room, while hopping from one foot to the other. He fled into the dressing room and slammed the door behind him. His wild eyes scanned the shelves and hangers. Clean robe, he muttered. Comb face, wash socks, fresh hair. Where's the instead-of-shave lotion? From the other side of the door came the adorable sound of the cheerful fairy blowing her nose. From this side came the sound of the senior wrangler's muffled scream, as, made careless by haste and a very poor sense of smell, he mistakenly splashed his face with the turpentine he used for treating his feet. Somewhere overhead, a very small, plump child, with a bow and arrow and ridiculously unaerodynamic wings, buzzed ineffectually against a shut window on which the frost was tracing the outline of a rather handsome, oriental lady. The other window already had an icy picture of a vase of sunflowers. In the great hall, one of the tables had already collapsed. It was one of the customs of the great feast that, although there were many courses, each wizard went at his own speed, a tradition instituted to prevent the slow ones holding everyone else up. And they could also have seconds if they wished, so that if a wizard was particularly attracted to soup, he could go round and round for an hour before starting on the preliminary stages of the fish courses. "How are you feeling now, old chap?" said the Dean, who was sitting next to the bursar. "Back on the dried frog pills?"
No. I'm not too bad," said the bursar. "It was, of course, rather a shock when..."
"That's a shame, because here's your Hogswatch present," said the Dean, passing over a small box. It rattled. "You can open it now if you like."
"Oh, well, how nice."
"It's from me," said the Dean.
"What a lovely..."
"I bought it with my own money, you know," said the Dean, waving a turkey leg airily.
"The wrapping paper is a very nice...
More than a dollar, I might add."
"My goodness."
The bursar pulled off the last of the wrapping paper.
"It's a box for keeping dried frog pills in, see? It's got dried frog pills on it, see?"
The bursar shook it.
"Oh, how nice," he said weakly. "It's got some pills in it already. How thoughtful. They will come in handy."
"Yes," said the Dean. "I took them off your dressing table. After all, I was down a dollar as it was." The bursar nodded gratefully and put the little box neatly beside his plate. They'd actually allowed him knives this evening. They'd actually allowed him to eat other things than those things that could only be scraped up with a wooden spoon. He eyed the nearest roast pig with nervous anticipation and tucked his napkin firmly under his chin.
"Excuse me, Mr. Stibbons," he quavered. "Would you be so good as to pass me the apple sauce tankard?"
There was a sound like coarse fabric ripping somewhere in the air in front of the bursar, and a crash as something landed on top of the roast pig. Roast potatoes and gravy filled the air. The apple that had been in the pig's mouth was violently expelled and hit the bursar on the forehead. He blinked, looked down, and found he was about to plunge his fork into a human head.
"Ah, ha, ha, ha," he murmured as his eyes started to glaze.
The wizards heaved aside the overturned dishes and smashed crockery.
"He just fell out of the air." "Is he an assassin? None of their student pranks, is it?"
"Why is he holding a sword without a sharp bit?"
"Is he dead?"
"I think so."
"I didn't even have any of that salmon mousse. Will you look at it? His foot's in it. It's all over the place. Do you want yours?"
Ponder Stibbons fought his way through the throng. He knew his more senior fellows when they were feeling helpful. They were like a glass of water to a drowning man.
"Give him air," he protested.
"How do we know if he needs any?" said the Dean. Ponder put his ear to the fallen youth's chest.
"He's not breathing."
"Breathing spell,
muttered the Chair of Indefinite Studies. Spaltz, forthright respirator, perhaps? I think I've got it written down somewhere. Ridcully reached through the wizards and pulled out the black-clad man by a leg. He held him upside down in his big hand,